Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. All three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tells us the story of the rich young ruler. We read about it in Matthew's account in Matthew the 19th chapter in verses 16 through 22. Mark records it in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. And Luke records it in the 18th chapter, verses 18 through 23. This was a man that seemed to have it all going for him. He had youth, he had wealth, and he had power. What more could he want? Well, there are several things we learn from this story, I think, that helps us to understand Bible principles and how we are to go about to apply them into our lives. First of all, good people can and will be lost. You know, it's quite hard for some people to conceive the idea that good people will lose their souls. Let's consider the many principles that make this man here that we're studying about good. It was not his wealth that didn't make him good, necessarily, nor was it his youth, nor was it his power. He had other qualities that were far more important than those three. You see, he had an interest in spiritual things, because of the question that he asked in Matthew's account, in Matthew 19, verse 6, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He wanted to go to heaven. He didn't just ask about religion, but had his mind focused on eternal life. He had a concern for his soul. He had a concern that few today have, sad to say. He didn't ask about his power or his money. He asked about his soul salvation. He had kept many of the commandments. In fact, he had been doing so for some time. And Jesus doesn't take away from the fact that this young man claimed to keep the commandments. So he was morally good. If he kept the commandments, he didn't steal, he didn't lie, nor did he engage in premarital or extramarital sex. Obviously, this young man was trained well. And if he had been keeping the commandments since his youth, his parents had to teach him something about the law, respect for the law, and for serving God. So in all of this, the conclusion that we can draw at this point is, what a fine young man this fellow was. And yet, this man was lost. And he would not go to heaven in his present condition. You see, the fact that Luke says that he was sorrowful, in fact, Luke says he was very sorrowful. The fact that he was, as he left this discussion with Jesus about going to heaven, says that he knew he was not going. Don't you realize that? Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then when Jesus tells him, he goes away sorrowful. And furthermore, Jesus followed this discussion with his disciples by making this statement. Looking at Matthew's account, in Matthew 19, beginning with verse 23. Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You see, we must conclude from this that there are many good people in this world that will be lost. Another thing that we can learn from this story that helps us to understand Bible principles and how to apply them into our lives is that some are not willing to change. You know, in order to have eternal life, this young man was going to have to make a change. He had been selfish with his wealth. He had not been thinking of others. He had too much love for money. All of that he had to change. That he was not willing to do. But friends, the gospel demands radical change. It was not the matter that this young man was rich that he would not enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, Mark's account is a little more clear. In Mark chapter 10, we find again the repeat of what Jesus' words were in verse 23 when Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's not just a matter of the riches themselves that makes it hard. Jesus explains what he means in verse 24. The disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. See, it's not riches that's the problem. There are many examples in the scriptures of those that were rich that were faithful servants to God. Job, look at all of what Job had. He was faithful to God. Abraham was exceedingly rich, but yet Abraham was a friend of God. So no, it's just not the fact that you have a riches that keeps you out of the kingdom of God. It's the fact that Jesus says, for those that trust in riches. And you know, when you come to think about it, those riches is sort of a relative term, isn't it? You know, we don't consider many of us ourselves rich in this country, but if we would go to other countries and other people would find out what we have, the houses that we live in, the automobiles that we drive, the income, all of the stuff that we have, they would think we were rich. So we know that rich is a relative term, but again, it doesn't matter how little or much. Still, the fact of the matter remains, we can and oftentimes do put trust in riches. That's what keeps us out of the kingdom of God, just like it kept this young man from having eternal life. But another thing that we learn from this story that helps us to understand Bible principles and how to apply them into our lives is that some are not willing to give up a hindrance to their salvation. See, this young man's love of money stood between him and going to heaven. What meant more to him? Well, it's just like we said a moment ago, where was his trust? Certainly, eternal life should have meant more to him. However, his riches must have meant more. For what did he do? He went away very sorrowful. And another lesson that we can learn that will help us to understand the principles that are taught in the Bible and how that we can apply them to our lives is that choosing to do nothing is a choice for disobedience. You know, there's no indication that the young man made a conscious choice to commit sin. What I'm saying is, he didn't say anything like, well, you know, I'd rather commit sin and go to hell than to give up my money. No, he didn't say that. But what he did was to do nothing about the command that Jesus gave him. Jesus gave him the command to go and sell what you have, give it to the poor. In other words, not to make yourself a pauper, but to put your trust out of your riches and into something that's more important, and that is to trust in God. But the young man was not willing to do that. So that, in principle, was a decision for him to continue in sin, for him to continue heading for torment. Why? Not because he was lying, not because he was stealing, but rather because he put his trust in the wrong things. And then one other thing that we can learn from this story that helps us to understand Bible principles and how to apply them into our lives is God requires more than some general service. What I mean is that it seems to me that there are those who feel that all is well as long as they are generally doing what's right. They don't seem to worry much about how careful their walk is. But yet, it's in Ephesians chapter 5. Notice what we read in verse 15. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So, they don't seem to worry much about how careful their walk is, nor are they upset when they know that they're doing something wrong. You know, how many times have you heard somebody say, well, if that was all I ever did that was wrong, I wouldn't worry about it. But see, the person, the man, the young man in our text, he seemed to generally follow the law that was given by Moses. Again, he generally followed the law. But the one thing that he lacked was enough to render him unfit for heaven. So friends, we learn a lot from the rich young ruler. Let's reread this story as our time is about up. Matthew 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus said to him, why did you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all of these things I've kept from my youth, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And the lessons that we have learned is that good people can and will be lost, that some are not willing to change, that some are not willing to give up what's hindering their salvation. And we learned that choosing to do nothing is a choice for disobedience. And we also have learned, hopefully, God requires more than just general service unto him. Our time is up. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you back to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.